Welcome to the Cruciform Life Church podcast, featuring the weekly sermons from our Sunday gathering. Please visit us online at www.cruciformlifechurch.org for more information.
Thank God, once again, we are able to gather as a church to have fellowship with one another, worship the Lord together, and hear the word of God. I hope that as a church, we are excited every Lord's Day to worship the Lord and hear His holy word. Pastor Enteng is on vacation right now with his family, so we will just have a serious break in our First Timothy chapter 4, our series about the good servant of Jesus Christ. For the last 2 weeks, we have learned from Pastor Enteng's preaching the importance of theology and the pursuit of a good servant. It is important to know these things for us to live a godly life that is pleasing to the Lord. And today we will be looking at 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. And as we grow in our theology, we must remember that one of God's characteristics is that He is love. And as we pursue to grow in godliness, we do it not for the sake of we want to earn salvation or we want to grow on our own, but we trust in God who loves us. So we had our meeting last month for the cascading of plan and prayer for this year. And we see that the problem of the church, not only in our congregation, but in the whole church, is worldliness. That's why it is timely that the Word of God would speak to us through 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. However, it is also timely because others would celebrate Valentine's Day this coming week with their partners. And for the youths, they will be celebrating with their parents. And as a church, we must always be reminded of God's command. And one of the greatest commands, and that is to love one another. It is good that we intentionally grow our relationship with our loved ones, with our families, with our friends. So it is good that by celebrating Valentine's Day as a church, we must always be reminded of God's command, which is to love one another. And we cannot deny that we are also being influenced by worldliness, even on how we should celebrate Valentine's Day. But as a believer, it can be a day where we can remember that there is a love that surpasses all worldly and earthly love. The love of God to us is made manifest when the Son of God, Jesus Christ, saves us and atone us for our sins. So we will look at 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verses 7 to 12, to see how God's love made manifest among us. For our context, 1 John was written to warn and instruct the people about the false teachings. John said that he wrote the epistle for this reason. We can see that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 26. John said that, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." So there are false teachers that are trying to deceive the church and even the elders of the church at their time. But if we ask ourselves, do you know how to spot some false teachings. They all have similarities. They all denied that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They did not believe that He had come in the flesh, atoned for our sins through His sacrificial death on the cross, and did not resurrected to have the assurance of our pardon. So we can say that a certain people, a certain group, are teaching false teachings if they are contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So basically, we should remember the creeds and confessions that we have, that we profess, and see if they are against it. And above all, if they are opposed to what the Bible says about the person and work of Christ. And their lives are contrary to what the Scripture says. They do not pursue holiness, they do not pursue godliness, and does not love others. This is the marks of a false teachers. But what then should the believers should do if they are being deceived by false teachings? I pray that each one of us is continually being reminded of the truth of God's word. I hope that we are conscious enough and know that we are influenced by worldly ideologies and that the society keeps pushing it down to our throats. As John said, let no one deceive you. We are to be constantly in pursuit of godliness through the means of grace, so we might be able to remember the character of God, the person and work of Christ, and the duty we must obey. So we entitled our sermon today, based on our passage, God's Love Made Manifest. The main idea of our sermon is love for one another is born out of our right knowledge of God and is a command we must obey. The love of God was made manifest among the beloved when Christ was sent as an atoning sacrifice so that we might live completely through Him. So I want to draw out three things in this passage that clearly show that God's love made manifest among us. First, God's love commands us to love one another. Second, God's love made manifest among us in Christ. And third, God's love made complete in us. For the children in our church, you should remember these three points and ask your parents after the service. For our first point, command. Second point, Christ. For our third point, complete. So kids, we should remember the three C's in our sermon this morning. Command, Christ, and complete. Kids, ask these three words to your parents as you get home. Our parents should teach their children about these words as you go home. As we are called by God as His beloved, we are commanded to love one another. Remember that His love made manifest among us in Christ and His love made complete in us. So first, we want to look at how God's love made manifest. So it made manifest as God commanded us to love one another. For our first point, God's love commands us to love one another. So we are commanded by the Word of God to love one another. It is repeated many times in the whole New Testament, both in the Gospel and the Epistles, that we should love one another because it is the true mark of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. John, in the fourth gospel, he said in John chapter 13, verse 35, John said that, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one another." However, here in the first epistle of John, what makes it different is that he emphasizes that the disciples or the beloved should truly love one another. But if we ask ourselves, how can we obey God's command to love one another? What does it mean to love one another? And in our time today, they said we have 5 love languages. Do you know that? If I remember it correctly or rightly, it is written by Gary Chapman, where he said that we have different love languages. Words of affirmation, quality time, gift, acts of service, and physical touch. So we need to know the love languages of the certain people in order that we can show our love for them. So that is the principle of the 5 different love languages. In order for us to show our love for them, we must know their love languages. So what you need to do is to know me and learn to speak the language, and that will be you showing your love for me. I think this type or definition of love is just a form of selfishness. It's possible that I'm actually using a love language that you appreciate in order to manipulate you so you give me love. Love languages can be both helpful and unhelpful depending on how we use them. But above all, we need to know what the Bible says about how should we love one another. And who is our example that we need to follow when it comes to how we should love one another? Here's how we should love one another. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 8, it reads, "Beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Verse 8, "The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So God's love commands us to love one another. And our love for one another is born out of our right knowledge of God. And is a command we must obey. Who are the people that need to love one another? It says that those who are called beloved by God. His disciples. People whom He adopted as His children. It is His covenant people. It is us that we should love one another. But from where we should know how we love one another? So we should know how we love one another from God Himself. There's no other way for us to know how to love but to God Himself, for He is love. For God is of love. It is love that comes from God. This is a love that has its origin in God Himself. So this love is beyond our comprehension and capacity, comprehension to understand and capacity to rightly express it. Though we have an idea of love because of the seemingly love we have received from our family, from our friends, and from our loved ones, or even to our own environments and communities, we know how to love in these relationships. But we are love by our parents and our relatives, though we still know that even our own family sometimes fails to show and express their love for one another. That is why we have this, why we have dysfunctional families. And friends that we can hold on to when life is rough, though there are times that they cannot help us and express their love for us. Even us, if we are honest to ourselves or with ourselves, we often fail to express and show our love to our family, to our friends and loved ones. So we need to acknowledge that this love never naturally comes from us. Instead, it comes from the very source of love, which is God. Though this love is beyond our comprehension and capacity, God made known to us this love. By His grace and mercy to us, He made known to us this love. We have been given the capacity to know God. God made Himself known to us so that we may know what is love and how to love. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Then we are to love one another. God's love commands us to love one another. It demands and compels us that as we have a relationship with God, therefore, He has given us actually not only the capacity to love, but to truly love. To express, to love to some extent, the agape type of love, the sacrificial love, a love that pushes us to go beyond to what we can give, to serve one another, to help one another, and to care for one another. This is the love that God has given and make known to us that commands us to love one another. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." I don't know how much John really emphasizes this command to the disciples when they are being attacked by false teachings. They are to love one another. And if we see ourselves being influenced by worldly ideologies, may we be reminded that we are ought to love one another and remind ourselves who God is. This is important because it shows if we have a genuine knowledge of God. It says that the one who does not love does not know God because God is love. So if we cannot love sacrificially, maybe we do not know God. It is inseparable. If we know who God is, that He is love, the result of it is that we should love one another, especially in our church, as a covenant family. As we have come to know Christ, we are ought to love one another. So a right understanding of God and His love leads us to love sacrificially, to love one another. We are able to obey God's command and call to love one another if we have proper theology. That's why last 2 weeks we are being reminded that the importance of theology for the good servant. So if you have right knowledge of Him, if you have right theology, because love is embedded in His being. To know love is to know God. It is inseparable, for it is God's own divine attribute. But God so loves us that He wants us to know Him and His love, so we can question somehow, How did God love us then so that we might be able to reflect His love for us? If we are commanded by God Himself, and this command is out of His love for us, therefore, He will make a way for us to know His love for us. Make manifest His love for us. Exemplify His love for us. And to be able to apply His love towards one another. God is committed to making Himself known to His beloved people. As God is committed in this matter, in our response, we should willingly obey His command to love one another. So we should also be committed and wholeheartedly reflect the love we have received from God. God's love revealed and made manifest among us in Christ when Christ was sent as an atoning sacrifice. So for our second point, God's love made manifest among us in Christ. And we can see that in verses 9 to 11. And if love comes from God, and those who love have been born of God and know God, then what about the unbelievers then? Can we still love when we are not yet believers? The truth remains that even before we are saved, we are capable of love because we are created in the image of God. However, the real question is whether unbelievers can have a Christ-like love. An agape love. It seems that this passage talks about a different kind of love that surpasses all worldly love. According to C.S. Lewis' book, The Four Types of Loves, the Bible portrays four types of love. There are philia, which represents a deep bond between friends. So this is the type of love between a friend. Second, storge, which is love within families. Third is eros, which refers to romantic or sexual love. And last, agape, which is a selfless and sacrificial love that comes from God. And in the first three, the unbelievers can somehow show and express love to some extent. They can show love based on their understanding or definition of love on their own, a love which they can get from their families, from friends, and community as a whole, but not the love that comes from God. Christians should not have a room to boast, since this love was made known to us and made manifest to us by God in His grace when He sent His only Son to atone us for our sins. So this love that God has commanded us is not a love that is coming from us or belongs to us, but this love belongs to God Himself. And by His grace, by His mercy, by His steadfast love to us, He wanted to reveal this love, and He reveals it among us through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So all the more that we understand that this love does not belong to us, rather it belongs to God, it is from God, all the more we also want others to know the love we have known by God's grace. And after all, we are all incapable of love. The agape love, the Christ-like love, because of our sins. This is how God shows His love that is made manifest among us. Undeserved to know what love is, but God is rich in mercy that He allows us to make know His love for us through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So let's read 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. It reads, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins," or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." This is how God made known and revealed to us His love. This shows us what love is and what it means. Love is an act of sacrificial act. The sacrificial giving of the Father when He sent His only Son into the world, and the sacrificial atoning act of Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. In our time today, it is somehow overused. It is a cliche when someone say, "I will die for you." Kaya ko mamatay para sa iyo. Do you believe that? If someone said that to you? Because most of the time, when we just feel a little discomfort, we tend to live and run away from circumstances. That's why we have many broken relationships. We have broken marriages. Because when times of discomfort, we run away. We are not willing to die for that someone at all. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, "For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." In this, God shows His love. It is Jesus Christ alone who was willing to die for us, that while we are still sinners, He died for us. This is how God's love is made manifest among us. As Christ shows His love for us, we must reflect the same love with one another. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it reads, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." In order for us to know love, Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. As Christ serves us even to the point of death, may we also be willing to serve and lay down our lives for our brothers. The love of God should be seen in the lives of the beloved. Christians should and are identified by our love, by our love for one another. Again, others would know that we are disciples of Christ the way we love one another. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. If we have a right and a genuine understanding that God so loved us, it should reflect on how we love one another. How we love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And this week, do we ask our brother how he is? Do we ask our sisters in the Lord how she is? Is she doing well? Is she remaining in the love of the Lord? Is she still or he still doing his devotions? He is still continually doing the means of grace that the Lord has given to us. In our daily Bible study, are we accountable towards one another? And there's no other way for us. There's no other way for us to know who God is but through faithful reading of His Word. Church, as we want to grow in our theology, there's no other way for us to know who God is, to have a high view of God, but to read and meditate on His Word day and night. There's no other way for us to know even Christ, to know His love. It is only revealed through His Word. This is how God's love made manifest among us. So the love of God should be evident in the lives of those who are loved by Him. As Christians, we are recognized by our love for one another. Others can see that we are followers of Christ by the way we show love to each other. If God loves us so much, then we must also love one another. The love of God, which is revealed to us through Christ, is a sufficient reason for us to genuinely love one another. And you know what? The greatest act of love that we can show to love others is to share with them the same love that we have received from God through Christ. And we can do this by proclaiming to them the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the same gospel we have received, the same gospel that saves us, the same gospel that sanctifies us, the same gospel that day by day we ought to remember. For this is the power of God for our salvation. From justification to glorification, it is God's work towards us. We can do this by spreading the good news and serving others in a manner that reflects Christ-likeness. So the love of God was fully realized in us when Jesus was sent as an atoning sacrifice on the cross, perfectly displaying the center of God's love for us. This love continues to mature, be made complete, and be perfected as God abides in us, in order that God's love made complete in us. So let's look for our last point. As we are born of God and know God, we should love one another. God's love is made manifest when Jesus Christ is sent as a propitiation for our sins, atoning sacrifice for our sins. As God continually makes Himself known to us and shows love to us in Christ, we can be assured that God's love is made complete in us. What does it mean that God's love made complete in us? What does John wanted to say to the disciples, to the beloved, when he said that God's love should be made perfect or made complete in us? It simply means that God continually works our growth and maturity. It is not perfection per se. That's why I use the different translation, which is complete, to mature us, to grow us. That is the work of God. He is the one who continually show His love for us and made us complete. Until we all attain the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God. So it talks about sanctification. And it is monergistic. It is God who will make His love complete in us. So we wait for the day that we will know the fullness of God's love perfectly displayed in all of His glory. And that is His promise to His people. That is God's promise to His people. And if we continually love one another, it says that God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. It reads in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. It says that no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected or be made complete in us. So let's make it a habit to attend the Disciple Making Group Fellowship, the DCG, every week after the Lord's Day service. This is a way for us to extend our love to each other and share the grace that God has given to us as we walk together side by side in our faith. And let's not forget to pray for one another and lend an ear to listen to each other's concerns, what is happening in our lives. And we should be willing to sacrifice our time and resources, if needed, to show our love for each other. And by doing this, we allow God to abide in us, and His love is made complete in us. One commentary says that love for one another brings the unseen God to concrete expression in everyday life. No one has ever seen God. It is true. But if we love one another, we and others experience the presence of God. We know that we cannot see God, and that is true, but His manifest presence among us, if we love one another, if we show love towards one another, if we have the same spirit, if we have received the same gospel, we have this fellowship with God. And we cannot grow by ourselves, brothers and sisters. And we cannot love others if there is no one else to love. And we cannot increase our knowledge and understanding of God alone. And we cannot develop our theology, our understanding of who God is on our own. We will just deceive ourselves as if we truly know God, we know Him, but without the accountability with one another, that the Word of God is the one who corrects us, the one who teaches us to have a proper theology, proper understanding of who God is. God ordained the church so that His love would be made visible and the people would share the same love they have received from Him. And we can be assured of God's love for us. For our conclusion, beloved, as we know God, we must obey His command to love one another. God's love was made manifest and was in perfect display when Christ was sent as an atoning sacrifice so that we might live completely through Him. And for our implication, in our pursuit to grow in our theology, in our knowledge of God, it should manifest in how committed we are to obey God's command to love one another. And as we fight worldliness, we must remember how God's love made manifest among us, that God has sent His only Son into the world so that we may live through Him. And lastly, as God lives in us and His love is made complete in us, may we love one another and be true to our identity, that we truly care for our brethren. Church, as God's love made manifest among us, this love is a result of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it is what drives us to love one another. Let us always remember to keep our brothers and sisters in the Lord in our prayers and to help those who are in need within our church community. We have every reason to love, as the love of God is made manifest among us. Again, church, love for one another is born out of our right knowledge of God and is a command we must obey. The love of God was made manifest among the beloved when Christ was sent as atoning sacrifice so that we might live completely through Him.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Cruciform Life Church podcast. Check out more gospel-centered messages at www.cruciformlifechurch.org or subscribe to this podcast at Spotify.